Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I say it every episode and I mean it. I am so grateful that you take the time to lend your ear and listen to the show. I mean, I do my part by bringing incredible guests and incredible content. And I love the reviews that you all leave on the Apple Podcast platform, as well as the emails that you send to successfuldiligence.com/contact. And of course, the most fun are those voice messages that you send by clicking the link in the show notes. I'm just so excited to talk with my guest today. I'm telling you, you are in for a treat. You may want to get the notebook on this episode. It is going to be a really, really comprehensive, epic, life-transforming conversation, dare I say. Now, listen, my guest, let me introduce him. And I have to say, this is the most creative introduction I'm going to do. So listen, no father around, born to a mother struggling with addiction, started using drugs at 11, joined a gang at 14, never graduated high school. Now, according to statistics and all of that, you would think that this person would be dead or in prison or not thriving in life, correct? But I'm here to tell you, my guest is here to tell you that sometimes statistics lie. Statistics do not understand the potential that every person possesses. And my guest today, Levi Ferguson, is no statistic. Instead, Levi is a tremendous human being who is a youth mentor, a transformational speaker who helps people discover their true potential and their power in order to start changing the world in the unique way that only you can. Levi is not content to simply motivate or inspire those that he speaks to. Motivation can leave as fast as it comes, but Levi's passion is to use the life-giving power of words to help others discover their purpose and change the world. And after one conversation with this man, I promise you, you will be inspired to change your world. Levi, welcome to the show.
Yo, 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 it's Levi, the passion guy, aka the cat in the hat. What is popping? Michelle Perry, aka the successful diligence coach, aka dopeness level over 9,000. What is up?
Oh, Levi, the energy never fails. And if you are on Clubhouse, you have heard Levi, the passion guy, show up, cat in the hat, and drop his dopeness all over. But Levi, for those who are not on Clubhouse, for those who are just getting to know you, for those who are not yet introduced to your perspective of the world, tell us a little bit about who you are beyond the bio and how you came to this incredible way of being and living that you now function in.
So I don't know if you can tell by the twang in the voice, y'all, but listen, I am originally from Atlanta, Georgia. That's right, Hotlanta. That's right, ATL. That's right, the Braves are in the World Series right now, and they're up, and I'm ready for them to win, because look, they ain't won since the 90s. but yo, I'm out here in Sacramento, California. how did I become the person that I am today? So tell me, how much time do I have to answer that question right there?
That is a great question, because we only have this episode, although hint, hint, I may invite you back depending on how this goes. But really, I want to know, because when I read your bio, right, we read all of the things that should have led to a specific type of life or mm-hmm. lifestyle, right? Okay. And we yeah. all know those people. And if you grew up in the 80s, the 90s, you know, end of the 70s to date myself, even into the 2000s, you know, people who get caught up in circumstances, who have just the not so great hands dealt to them in the cards of life, right? And what people choose to do with those cards or do with that hand or do with that life that they're given, it varies, right? And so how did you go from the statistic bearing version to this thriving Levi the Passion Guy inspiring the world version? Like, how does that happen?
Okay, I got you, Michelle. I got you on that. All right, so, you know, first of all, I'm going to say it like this. Nobody can control how other people treat them, but they can always control how they respond. Nobody can control what happens to them in life, but they can always control how they respond. So for me, the path that I followed was just like the path that anybody else would have followed at first. I allowed my circumstances to control and mold and shape me. I allowed that to push me down the path that you mentioned in my bio. At 11, I started using drugs. Not long after that, dropped out of school. Not long after that, was selling drugs and involved with gangs. But at 17, there was something that happened that radically shifted the direction of my life. You know, at 16, I heard this message about a God who loved me so much that he became a man, he died to pay for the wrong things that I had done. And if what is written about him is true, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And if that's true, and I believe it is, then that message right there has the power to transform a person's life. And that's what happened to me. Say that again.
If they believe it,
that's correct. You know, if they believe it, that message can radically shift the direction of a person's life. And that's exactly what happened to me. A year after hearing that message for the first time and really listening to that message for the first time, I was sitting in a jail cell. At 17 years old, that was my third time in jail within the space of a year. And I sat there on a cold metal bench and I thought about this message that I'd heard from this girl a year previous. And this was a girl that I was dating at the time, was very interested in her and would definitely call her my first love. So she was the one that shared this message with me. At first, you know, I heard her for the first time and really listened to what she was saying, but still I wasn't doing anything with it myself. I wasn't responding to it other than to say, you know, push it aside. But sitting in this jail cell, this holding cell in Gwinnett County, Georgia, you know, the benches in the holding cells are metal benches, just like a metal bleacher at a baseball field or a football field. So I'm sitting on this cold metal bench. And I remember I laid down on this bench and I prayed and I said, God, I do not want to live this way anymore. I said, I know that I can't change. I said, I tried. I said, you know, I can't change. I said, please, God, do what you want with me. Make me who you want me to be. And so in that moment, that was the first time that I had had what's called faith. Now, there's a difference between belief and faith.
Yes.
Belief is to acknowledge something to be true. Faith is to actually commit yourself to something because you trust it with your life. And so that was the first time in my life that I had faith in God. I believed in God before that. I believed that Jesus had died for my sins, that he had risen from the dead. But I had only believed, I had only acknowledged it to be true with my mind. I had never committed my life to him. And so sitting in a jail cell, that's what happened.
Let me ask you this. In that jail cell, what I'm hearing is, yes, you prayed in truth for the first time. So you were actually telling the truth about yourself to yourself, acknowledging that, okay, I've done all I can do. Like, you come to the end of yourself, right? And you know, and you recognize the truth of the matter that there's nothing else I can do to get a different result. And so that prompted you to move from belief to faith, because you knew.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, because you knew that you couldn't do it, but there was someone who could do it with you.
Yeah, that's where I was at. Like, because before that, I had already tried to make some changes in my life and it just didn't work for me. Mm. And I realized at some point that I just didn't have the ability to do it myself, because, you know, I looked at all the people around me. They were in the same boat as me. They were doing the same thing as me. They weren't escaping the things that I was stuck in either. And so I just, sitting there in that, on that cold metal bench, I realized that that was something that I couldn't do myself. And so I said, God, this is not how I want to live. Please help me. I know I can't do it. And you know, too. So please do what you want with my life. Make me who you want me to be. Like you said, I came to like this end of myself, realizing that there's no way that I can do this myself, because I already tried before and it didn't work.
So I'm going to call that your cold metal bench moment, right?
All right. The cold metal bench. I'm going to write a book called The Cold Metal Bench.
That's actually a great title for a book. If you want to chat about that afterwards,
I'm going to credit it to you.
So after your cold metal bench moment, what practically happened to shift your life into a different trajectory?
Okay. So I was bonded out of jail within about 30 something hours.
And for those who don't know, that means that bail was posted, right?
Bail was posted. So somebody came and put up money so that I could gain temporary freedom until I went to court.
Okay.
So got out on bond, and within 3 months, I had completely walked away from everything that I was doing, the gang lifestyle, the drugs, the violence, everything that I was involved with, I had completely walked away from.
Now, hold up. Because how do you do that? You don't just walk away from gangs. They don't just let you go and be like, oh, bye, have a nice life. That's not how that works.
So yeah, usually not. But, you know, I had gained a level of respect with the people that I was connected to in the gang. Mm. And so even though that's not normally what you would expect, they allowed it.
Interesting.
And as a matter of fact, not only did they allow it, but they looked up to me for it. So it was one of those situations where, you know, actually, you know, the Bible talks about how when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. So I think that was God's favor at work. Because not only was I able to walk out of that without any issues, I gained an even greater level of respect from those people because of what I did and because of the decision that I made.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating, because it's just a true picture that our excuses are just lies dressed up in pretty words, because really God can do anything.
Absolutely.
If we allow him to. Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay, so you walk away from that lifestyle, from the gangs, and then what do you do?
Okay, so within that 3 month period, there's a couple changes that happened. I mean, number one, I had actively stopped intentionally using drugs and, you know, participating in all those different types of activities that got me high or whatever the case may be. Now, there were a few times where I messed up during that 3 month period. So it wasn't just like, boom, completely gone, but within that space, I had completely walked away from those things. And one of the major contributing factors to that was that I had stopped surrounding myself with the same people. So, as I said, you know, I had walked away from the gangs, but I had just completely separated myself from the people that I was with before. And what I did instead was I began to regularly attend church and participate in a church. Matter of fact, when I was 18, I actually started working with students in church. And so this is in less than a year of this cold metal bench moment, right? So at 18, I started working with students who come from rough backgrounds like myself. So I was mentoring them and teaching them and sometimes even preaching to them. So that was a big deal. You know, that not only brought me away from the old people, but it put me in a new context where I felt I had a sense of purpose. And I realized that my life mattered and had meaning, and that I could legitimately make a difference in other people's lives. And not only that, but like, I could use my experiences, the things that I had been through, and I could actually help people who were going through similar things simply because I had been through those things. So it put me in a position to help those people better because I could understand where they were at and I knew how to help them out of it. I knew what to say to them. I could relate to them. So yeah, I think changing my environment and then shifting into a new environment where I had a focus and a purpose made a huge difference.
Yeah, I've heard Jordan Peterson say that responsibility gives life meaning. And when you are responsible for others, or you become responsible for yourself, right? It gives your life another dimension of meaning and purpose to then help you to continue through any obstacles that come in your path on the way to the best version of yourself. I want to dig a little deep though, because it sounds like amazing and it's a great testimony. And, you know, I think it's incredible what God can do when we allow him to. I want to go a little bit deeper into your inner journey, because going from the person that you were on that cold metal bench, right? And then a year later, ministering to other kids, right? And being looked up to and having a completely different life is really interesting. And I'm sure that there's an inner journey that you had to travel mentally and emotionally to get there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So talk to me more about that.
Okay. So dope question, by the way.
Well,
I like that question. That's good right there. So, you know, the first thing that I had to do in that time period was come face to face with myself in the mirror. You know, I had to look myself in the mirror and realize who I really was, but also that I couldn't stay there. So
before we move on, because a lot of people get stuck here. And this is, I'm smiling, you can't see me, but I'm smiling because this is getting into my passion of telling the truth, even though it's messy and it's hard to accept sometimes. And it's painful to look in the mirror and see what you've become when you've disappointed yourself over and over again. So when you were in that process of telling the truth about who you were, right?
Yeah.
What did you do with that to then shift and reframe into, I don't have to stay here or stay in this person? Like, how did you make that shift?
So, yeah, I mean, in that cold metal bench moment, you know, before that, I understood who I was and I understood the things that I was doing and that they were wrong, that they were terrible. You know, I treated people awful, was involved in lots of different violent things. And so there on that cold metal bench, Michelle, I came face to face, really, not for the first time, but for the full time, in realizing who I really was before that and who I was in that moment. And I said, just like I prayed, I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I had to face myself and understand, like, this is not right. What you're doing is not right. The way that you're treating people is not right. Hurting people is not right. I had to realize in that moment, like, how selfish I was, and understand that, you know, life is not about me and this has to change.
And so how did you get the new vision? Like, how did you get, okay, this is not who I'm not going to stay this person, right? But how did you get that vision of who you were to become?
So the way that I got the vision of who I was able to become, or who I could potentially become, I would say, was through reading the Bible. Because it was in this book that I saw and read and could hear and even feel from the pages, hope for change. you know, talks about how we are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. Everything has become new. I could read about people like Paul, who used to murder Christians because of their faith, would have them killed because they claimed that they believed in the resurrection of Jesus. He was killing them intentionally, like violently and intentionally. And somehow, you know, reading the pages of this incredible book, I saw that God took this man who was a murderer, who was the biggest opponent of the message of Jesus, transformed his life and turned him into the biggest proponent of that message and sent him all across the world, and understood that now today, because the reason that I heard the gospel was because of Paul. If you're not Jewish and you heard the gospel, it's because of Paul. And so seeing how God could change a person's life like that gave me hope. Like, yeah, I could see who I really was, but I could also see who God wanted me to be and see that it was possible for it to happen. So I would say that the words of the Bible completely transformed my life, the way that I thought, the way that I felt, the way that I acted, the way that I spoke, the way that I lived. And so those words, as I began to read them like on a daily basis, like I began to really, like, I had this huge appetite for scripture, this burning fire, this passion for scripture that began to really overflow in my life and push me into the word every day. You know, at the time I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, I'm gonna read 10 pages a day. So I did. And I, you know, sometimes it was boring. It was like the book of Numbers or whatever.
Leviticus.
Leviticus in the name of Jesus. But no, those words became real for me, and they legitimately transformed my life, the way that I thought and the way that I acted. And through that process, I began to see, yeah, this is who I used to be, but this is who God is changing me into on a daily basis. I'm changing because of what God is doing in me. And so I would say there really was the words of scripture that brought about that shift in mindset and direction in my life, and began that process of inner change that led to an outer change.
And how did the people around you, your family, you know, not the people that you were in church with, obviously, but the people that knew you before, like, how did they respond to this new Levi?
So it was pretty crazy, right? So when I was young, I remember going to church until I was about 6. And then for whatever reason, we stopped going to church. Before I was born, though, my grandfather was a pastor. So my family used to go to church a lot. And I remember hearing a story from my mom that when she got pregnant with me, the church that they were a part of made her come before the church and like apologize because she had gotten pregnant with me out of wedlock.
Hmm.
And so that was, I think, a big deal for my family and kind of pushing them away from the church. After that, they didn't go regularly. But when this change that started on that cold metal bench, I'm going to keep coming back to that now. but this change that started on that cold metal bench started to happen, and people around me started to see it. My entire family started going back to church. My grandparents started going back to church. My mom started going back to church. And for quite a while, my mom, by the way, I haven't mentioned this yet, but my mom was, you know, an addict herself. So she struggled with addiction most of her adult life. And whenever she saw this change in me, it sparked a change in her as well. And so she began to make changes too. And so it really had this ripple effect on my family. And my grandparents still to this day go to church on a regular basis. My grandfather has been teaching Sunday school for years and years, and it all started with what God was doing in me and leading them back to him. So it definitely had a big impact on them, and not only them, but my friends as well. You know, I can tell you stories. For example, about a friend I picked up one night when I was going to a Bible conference the next day. Me and my other friend who were in Bible college picked him up in the middle of the night from the hospital, where he got jumped in the hood, cut with a knife, and brought him to this Bible conference. And he had this pack of cocaine in his pocket when we got there, in this little bottle that you could open up and snort it. And I remember walking outside in the parking lot with him while we were at this conference. He reached in his pocket and threw it, just tossed it as far as he could throw it, and called up. He asked us, he asked me and my friend, he said, "Is it okay for me and my girlfriend to still have sex?" And we were like, "Well, we don't think that's really what God wants you to do." And he said, "Can I borrow your phone?" And I gave him my phone, and he called his girlfriend. And when she picked up, he said, "We're getting married today."
He said, we're going to still do it, but we're going to do it the right way.
We're going to do it right. We're getting married today, he said. But no, it started this ripple effect that, you know, this change that started inside of me began to impact the people around me. So it was a huge deal, not just for me, but for the people around me as well.
But did you struggle at all with the new person that you were becoming? Like, did you have any sort of struggle or journey, you know, wrestling with yourself about letting go of, you know, old tendencies, old personalities, old habits, whatever it is, to become this new person? Or was it really just as seamless as, you know, every day God was just making you more and more and more into who you are now?
You know, I would say that definitely for the first few years, I was just absolutely loved the new person that I was becoming. And in those first years, I had a lot less struggles than I had had for my entire life. And I think that was because there was such a radical change that had happened. And possibly, you know, thinking about it now, possibly it's that there was such a radical change and shift in activity in my life that maybe I didn't notice some of the struggles I was having because I had, you know, completely gotten rid of the old struggles that I was having. Maybe that's the case. But for the first few years, it was kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to like a conference or something, and when you came back from the conference, you just felt so on fire for the Lord. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, like you just feel so different, and
yeah,
you're clean and you're filled. And I guess that's why I'm asking, because, and I've been in Christ for quite some time, you know, that first phase of walking with him doesn't last forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you get to the next season of your walk, you know, it's a different type of journey, although everyone's journey is individualized. And so I'm just wondering, you know, once that first phase, you know, sort of was fading and you were continuing to walk your journey and live your life, did that fire and that passion and that initial, you know, I call it a Jesus high sometimes because you just feel so good, right? Did that fade? And then what did you do with that? Because you're clearly on fire and passionate today. So has it even faded? I guess maybe the better question.
Yeah, I would say, you know, again, like for the first few years, it was that spiritual high, which I think a lot of people, it doesn't last that long. Like it's usually kind of, you know, 6 months or a year or something. But for me, it was like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And there were definitely struggles that I had in the midst of that. I mean, I remember being convicted about a pornographic magazine that I had during that time period. And I took it and like tossed it in the trash. Being convicted by the Holy Spirit, I tossed it in the trash. And I remember that when I did that, it really kind of set me free from that. Like God just used that moment to set me free from that particular struggle. So there were definitely struggles that I had during that time. But then getting beyond that point of time, I would say that later on, there was a time where my faith in God was tested. Mm. And I remember even like preaching sermons as a youth pastor on like spiritual warfare. And then not long after that, like my faith being heavily tested and dealing with doubts, like, is God, does he really exist? Is God really at work in my life? Is what I'm saying, is this true? is what I believe really true? Like, there's all these other things out there. There's all these other religions. How do I know that the one that I believe in is the real one? How do I know that it's true?
Yeah. And people don't talk about that. So I dealt
with all of it. Go ahead.
People don't talk about that. The fact that, and I'm a big, you know, God's not afraid of our questions. He, you know, he's not afraid of our emotions. He's not afraid of our questions. He can handle it. And, you know, I think people don't talk about it as much, that there's nothing wrong with exploring the questions, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to get to your destination if you just keep walking. You all hear me say that every episode at the end, right? And so I love that. I'm going to switch gears just in the interest of time for a minute. How did you start talking to people and motivating people, inspiring people, and sharing your story outside of the church walls? And how was that journey? And were you received?
Ooh, girl. Now that's a question, ain't it? So a lot of things happened for me personally that led to that. You know, I went through a divorce. And so when I went through a divorce, you know, one of my main goals in life was to have a family, to be a present, active father, and obviously to be a pastor as well. Like, I had felt like God had been calling me to be a pastor since I was 18 years old. So when I went through this divorce, in my mind, and now I realize, you know, this isn't true, but in my mind, I felt that there was no way that I could ever be a pastor again, because, you know, churches most of the time won't hire people who have been divorced as pastors. So because of that thought process and that feeling that I was dealing with on the inside, I felt that I had lost my purpose. But not only did I feel that I had lost my purpose, I also felt that I'd lost my family. And both of those things were major, major goals in my life. And so when that happened, I went through depression for the first time in my life. I dealt with incredible self-doubts. Like, it almost destroyed my self-confidence. And I'd never dealt with that before. And so I began to look at my life a little bit different. And I realized that I may have to look into things that are outside the church.
Interesting. Very interesting to me, because really and truly, we should never have to look outside of the church for anything. And so it's interesting when, you know, we have situations that don't line up all the time with, human expectations, right? Because like I said, God is not surprised. He's not surprised that you got divorced. He's not surprised that you went to depression. He's not surprised by that. And our humanity doesn't disappear once we come to faith and start walking the journey. And so it's interesting to me. So what did you look for? What did you find to help you manage that phase of your journey?
So at that moment, really, I just began to consider the possibility that I may have to find some other kind of job.
you gotta work.
I gotta work. But then some other things happened while I was still at the church that I was at. So I had some major issues with one of the pastors who was there. He was the main, he had recently become the main pastor at the church. And we had some pretty significant issues. And so because of those issues, I decided it would be better for me to leave. So made that decision. And, you know, the church, they understood that some of these issues were ridiculous. I'll just put it that way. They knew.
Well, that you got me curious. Stuff. Were they like doctrine issues? Were they personality issues?
No, they were not doctrinal or anything like that. The main issue was that we had a student. Well, let me back up. We had someone who was serving as a student leader in the youth ministry, who was a college student. He was 18. Mm-hmm. And he started dating a girl who was in the youth group who was 14. So he was a freshman in college, 18, and she was a freshman in high school, 14.
Gotcha.
And I said, yo, you can't do that. You can't be a counselor while you're dating this girl. No, we can't do that. Long story short, the main pastor there threatened to fire me over that.
Interesting.
There were other issues too. But that was the main one. And yeah. So I told him, I was like, man, you don't even understand this issue. Like, this is significant. Like, the church could be liable for something if something were to happen between these two.
And forget the fact they're in two different developmental stages of life. Like,
right.
Yeah. So, but it is also a legal issue.
Right. So, that was the main thing. And so I chose to leave at the end of 2018. So at the end of 2017, and then early January 2018 was my last month at the church. So I was sitting in my office at church in my last week at the church, and I got an email from this guy, the guy who's now my boss. And he sent me two different emails. One was about recruiting youth into an anti-tobacco program, and one was about a position working with youth in an anti-tobacco program. I wasn't looking for a job. The church gave me a 5-month severance package. I was in my last, week at the church. I wasn't even looking for a job yet. I don't even know how this guy got my email.
Providence.
Providence in the name of Jesus. So, long story short, I ended up going in for an interview. I was like, why not? I'll be working with youth. I'll be using my gift to speak. Went in for an interview, had some mutual connections at the church that I was at with the guy who I was interviewing with. And so he hired me within a couple of days. So that's how I got my position now that was outside of the church. But that's also what caused me to think about speaking in a different way as well.
Interesting.
So early March 2019, I hooked up with a motivational speaker in Sacramento. He speaks to elementary, middle, and high school students. And he had this event that he was putting on called Kevin Bracey with At the Crest with special guests. So how I played a role in that particular event was this. He had something within that event that was called a speak up, speak off battle. So what that is essentially kind of like a rap battle, except it's between two motivational speakers and their goal is to out motivate or out encourage the other person.
I love it.
So, I ran into this guy, Kevin Bracey, motivational speaker at the local men's warehouse. I was picking up a tie for work that I needed for an event coming up. Now I don't even wear ties. So it was insane. It was odd even that I was there to begin with, but I ran into him there. He told me about some tryouts for this event, this speak up, speak off battle. He's like, we got one this Saturday. It was a Tuesday. I was like, I'll be there. So I showed up to that one, showed up to another one, did the tryouts, and went to the event. You didn't find out if you made it into the event until the night of the event. But out of, I don't know, there's probably 50 people who tried out, and I was one of the four who was chosen to speak in the event. So I ended up getting second place.
What did you speak about? Gotta know.
So I had two different speeches. What were they called? One was called Scared Great. And let's see, what was the other one? I forget what the other one was called, but one of them, I just talked about like how fear can actually motivate you into greatness.
Mm.
And the other one I was talking about, I started off, it was almost kind of like a sermon, like, but I was talking about how like God has created us as masterpieces and he's put these dreams inside of us and he's created us to make these dreams become reality. I can't remember the title of that one. But anyways, yeah, that's what those were about. So ended up getting second place. And in that moment is where God really showed me, you know what, you can use this gift that I've given you for more than speaking in churches. You don't have to limit yourself to that. Yes, you can use it there. And yes, you should. And yes, I do. But he opened my eyes to the reality that I could use this gift in other ways. I could speak to high school students, middle school students, elementary school students, other audiences that would never even walk into a church otherwise, and still use that gift that he's given me to point attention to him and to share his love with people. So that was the moment, that was the event that opened my eyes to the reality that I could do something else other than just speak in churches with the gift, So that's how that happened.
I love that because, I mean, I know for me, I've spoken in my first paid speaking opportunity was in the church. But I have known for quite some years, decades, that definitely marketplace ministry is the place where God has me. And, you know, the gift that we have inside of us are not limited by the boxes that we put on them in our humanity, you know, that was never the intended purpose. And so I think oftentimes we limit ourselves so much by just having a tunnel vision or a tunnel understanding of, well, I can only use my gift here and I can only say this here and this is only for these people. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what people need to hear and you don't know who needs to hear it. Yes. This is why, listeners, I always say, just keep showing up, keep walking, because you will become the person you were supposed to be if you keep showing up and you keep walking. And Levi, I think you're an amazing example of that. And I'm just so, it's so interesting because we met on Clubhouse, right?
Yeah.
And neither one of us really are on there very actively at the time of this recording. But, you know, I think that the people that you need to meet, you're going to meet them and you're going to have the connections that you're supposed to have. And so I wonder, you know, when you think about your marriage, when you think about your kids, when you think about your divorce, when you think about life going forward, right? And I'm thinking, if I remember correctly, you are single today. You're not remarried.
That's correct. Yep.
And so, you know, talk to me about your thoughts about how you show up every day, working to be the best version of yourself in every moment, knowing that you're going to fail some days because not every day is a great day, but yep. You know, how do you do that? How do you show up every day and maintain your Levi, the passion guy, you know, mantra and be what you need to be for whoever you meet?
Yeah. You know, every day is interesting for me. Like I get up super early. Like I'm usually up between 4 and 5.
Mm.
So, and you know what, like I don't drink coffee either. So
all right now,
I have a pretty high natural energy level, but you know, I wake up early and really that's how I ground my day is I wake up early. I pray, I spend time reading the Bible and then I read other books. And what those things do for me is they help me to mold and shape my mindset for the day. So it gives me, for me personally, like before I jump into anything else, I need silence with God. I need stillness by myself and God. And I need a little bit of darkness before the lights come on. Like I just need to sit there in the stillness and the darkness and the silence and charge.
Mm.
And so that happens for me through prayer, through like meditation, through gratefulness, and through reading. And that makes a huge difference for me. Like the stuff that I read, whether it's in the Bible or it's in some other book, like it brings inspiration to me of some kind every day. It inspires me. It motivates me. It pushes me. And that sets the tone for my whole day. And then I focus on number one after that, being a father. So every day I'm present with my kids. I see my kids every single day. I take them to school. I pick them up from school. I spend time with them every day. To me, that is like one of my major life goals, is to be a present, active father. So no matter what, I always make that a priority every single day. And then, you know, that Levi, the passion guy, that energy, it just kind of takes care of itself. Like once those things are set in place, that naturally fuels that energy that I have and makes me have really kind of this natural high. I love just doing crazy. Like I'll walk into a store and talk to somebody in an Irish accent or a British accent just because it's fun, you know? And it's funny because people tend to be like, okay, I can't do that because that's, you know, people are going to make fun of me. They're going to think I'm stupid or whatever, but it really does brighten people's day. Like for real, like they're like, oh, you talk like that. And I'm like, nope, but I am for you though. So it puts a smile on people's faces, you know, it's fun. And I enjoy that. Like that to me is a great day. If you wake up with that type of morning, you spend time with your kids, you work on some of your goals, and you make somebody else smile, that's a good day to me.
Yeah. You know, some keys that I've taken away from you are, you know, telling the truth, and you start your day by investing in yourself with that silence, with that time with God, with investing into knowledge and wisdom from, you know, either the Bible or other people. And it really gives you a clarity for what you choose to do throughout the day, which I think are keys that listeners, we can all apply, right? And I, you know, I ask most of my guests this, and I want to ask you as well before we sort of round to a close. Gratitude. Has it played a part in your journey? If so, how? And do you have a gratitude practice?
So absolutely, gratitude has played a part in my life, a big part, because, you know, going back to my bio, I realize that, you know, according to the statistics, I shouldn't be here. If the statistics had played out in my life, I would be either buried in a grave somewhere in Atlanta or locked in a prison somewhere. That's where I would be. And so, you know, every day that I wake up and I'm not under the dirt, and every day that I wake up and I'm not behind bars, I'm thankful for that, because there are things that I did in my past that I should be. I should be, for real. And so every day, you know, that's the first thing that I do every single day is when I pray, I say, thank you for life today, God. Thank you for waking me up today, God. Thank you for putting breath in my lungs today, God. Thank you for giving me purpose today. And pretty much every day with my kids, I kind of walk them through that, a similar process. Like I ask them, like, what are you grateful for today? And we pray and we say, thank you, God, for life. Thank you, God, for waking us up today. Thank you, God, for giving us the things that we need today. So yeah, that has been a huge, huge part of my journey, just being grateful for life itself and for being able to live with purpose and make a difference in the world because God has blessed us in the ways that he has. So that I think that that has a huge, huge impact on the way that we live through our day and the way that we see the world, because we could always find things to be upset about. But if you pay attention, you can always find things to be thankful for too.
You just taking my words, because that is exactly what I always say is, if you pay attention, there is always something to be grateful for. And gratitude is life transforming. It has been in my life, and most successful people who are thriving have gratitude incorporated somewhere in their journey. Levi, this has been amazing. So I think we're going to have you back, because there's another topic I want to get into with you that we were not able to address in this episode. But when you're thinking about all the things we chatted about, right? And when you're thinking about like one or two things that you really want the audience to walk away with, some key wisdom nuggets that you really want to drop that either we may not have talked about or we did, what are some things that you really want the audience to remember about this conversation?
So I want you to know that no matter what you have been through, God can always use the bad situations in your life to bring about good. I don't believe that God is the author or creator of your pain, but I believe that he intends to use your pain for a purpose and to bring about good, not only in your life, but in the lives of people around you. And what the devil or other people intended for evil to hurt you, God will use for good to help you and help the people around you, if you will let him. And not only does his word say that, but I've seen it play out in my life over and over and over again. God does not waste any of our pain. And so whatever pain that you've been through or that you're dealing with right now, understand and have faith that God will use that to bring about good in your life.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Levi, I'm so glad that you had time in your busy schedule to come and drop the wisdom bombs on us today. Listeners, I know that you got value. I know you're going to rewind and listen again. Levi, thank you so much for coming on the show. If people are like, yo, I am totally feeling this guy and his message. Where do I find more of him? How can I connect with him? Where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Thank you, Michelle, for having me up on the show, girl. Boom. So where can people find me? Well, you can find me on my website. That's www.levithepassionguy.com. Levi is L-E-V-I, and the Passion Guy is spelled just like you thought it would be. You can find me on Instagram, Levi_thepassionguy. Same spelling, just with the underscore. You got it on the Instagram handle. That's where I'm at. You can find me there. Both dope spots.
And listeners, as you know, I hook you up every episode. Links will be in the show notes, so you can click and go. No worries. Oh, Levi, I can't wait for our next conversation. Woo. It's going to be epic. It's going to be phenomenal. Completely different topic. So listeners, you're going to want to...
Is that where we're getting to the nitty gritty?
You're going to want to tune in because it's going to be really, really good. And as I always say, listeners, keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never stop walking. Because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. And on the journey, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. How do you know, man?